It's a pleasure to be with you tonight. I thank you for coming along on this nice sunny day. I'm not going to keep you for too long. We'll just turn to one verse initially. One verse initially if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. I'll read it to you. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. I'm just going to say that it's one verse initially, but we'll refer to different verses as we go through. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I just want to think about this verse and the two particular questions that kind of came to me recently. I've been reading a book recently. I won't tell you any more of it, but it's a book that was recommended to me by a woman that lives not too far from here. He goes to Church of Scotland. It's a book that's quite popular. It's like a Christian novel. And I've been thinking on this question since I've been reading this book. What is God like? What is God like? And the woman that recommended this book to me, she says, well, she found comfort from this book because she says, we can't be sure, can we? We can't be sure. I took from that to mean that we can't be sure that we can be in heaven. We can't be sure that it's all true in a way. We can't be true. We can have our sins forgiven. She had that doubt in her mind. We can't be sure. So I want to think about these couple of questions. We'll go through the verse as well, but as we do that, I want to think about these kind of two particular questions. What is God like? And can we be sure? Can we be sure that we can have our sins forgiven, if you like? Now, when I spoke to this woman, very nice woman, goes along to church. I think she professed to be saved. Well, I was saying to her initially, well, we can be sure. We can be sure of what the Bible says. I quoted to her John chapter 14. And the young people here who are at the camp, I think we're learning this passage all week. So we'll be able to say it better than me, I think. But it goes, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again. But where I am, where you may be also. So I'm saying, well, we can be sure, because Lord Jesus says that he went to heaven, he would come back again for those that had believed in him. And they would have that place in heaven for them. So I just want to think about this verse here. This is a faithful saying, first of all. I looked at this word faithful, and it really means trustworthy. This is a trustworthy saying. We can put our trust in this saying as being true. And I thought, really, well, why trust the Bible? Why should we trust the Bible? It's this book. It's written by all different authors. There's an Old Testament and a New Testament. And perhaps on first glance, doesn't all seem to fit together. But I want to tell you tonight, or this afternoon even, that we can trust the Bible. It's been proved to be historically accurate. More importantly, the things that it tells in the Bible, the things that the Bible tells us have actually come true already. There's prophecy in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. If you read down that, it starts off, who have believed our report? And it goes on to tell us about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, he's despised and rejected of men and so on. And if you go down that prophecy, you can see that the things that it prophesies, if you read what happened to the Lord Jesus on the cross, you can see that it's actually talking about him. So things in the Old Testament came true in the New Testament. That's one of the reasons that we can really trust what the Bible said. There's another prophecy that where the Lord Jesus comes, he comes in Jerusalem on the foal of an ass, and people straw branches in the way and so on, and sing Hosanna to the King of David. And that was prophesied as well. If you read the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it prophesies that this would happen, that the Lord Jesus would come in on the foal of an ass. But also we have what Lord Jesus himself said. Lord Jesus told his disciples, he says, I'm going to die, and after 3 days I'll rise again from the dead. And he said that to the disciples. His disciples didn't believe it. They didn't want to believe it, really. But he actually did rise again. And when he rose again and he seen the disciples, he remembered what he said. So we can be sure because of prophecy. We can be sure because the Bible's been proved to be historically accurate. We can be sure because what Jesus said already has come to pass. So we can be sure what he says about the future, which we're going to consider in this verse tonight, but it'll come to pass as well. So we thought of it as we can think of our statement here then. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So we thought of the Bible as trustworthy, but the Apostle Paul here is presenting us with a statement that he says to be trustworthy. This is a faithful saying. We can trust this statement. And when we think of a statement, it really sums up the message of the Bible. It sums up the message of the gospel, which is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's what we're going to think about tonight, or this afternoon even. Where it says here, I'm worthy of all acceptation, that means that it deserves to be accepted. Now, I want to think about this little phrase here, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus even, Christ Jesus. Now, when it has Christ Jesus first, Christ before Jesus, it's really emphasising the fact that he's the Messiah, the Son of God who will come. And I want to think about under this statement, just under a couple of little headings, what is God like? Now, there's many other verses I can turn to, many other passages of Scripture, many other headings that we can look at what God is like, and about the Lord Jesus, what he is like. But just really under this verse, I want to think about, in connection with the gospel, just a couple of different kind of headings this afternoon. So, what is God like? Now, when I thought about this, it's not just that Jesus is like God, and God is like Jesus. It's Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And when we look at Lord Jesus, we can see exactly what God is like. And we look at him and we can say, this is God manifest in flesh. So if we want to know what God is like, we just have to look at the Lord Jesus. Now, I thought of it under on a couple of different headings. First of all, I want to think about the fact that he's sinless. Lord Jesus is sinless. Now, Lord Jesus, he came to be born in a manger. He was born, and the Bible tells us it was a man like we are. He was hungry, he was thirsty and so on, but yet he had this one difference. Because he was God, he was sinless. It was impossible for him to sin because he was God. And the devil came along and tried to tempt the Lord Jesus 3 times. And if it had been us, even those that profess to be Christians, would have fallen with the temptations that the devil came and tried to trip up the Lord Jesus. I don't want to say too much more about that. We'll refer to that a bit later as well. But I mean, I want to think about under this heading, God is love. This is a feature of God. God loves us. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, in a verse here, it tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So he came into the world to save sinners. And when the Lord Jesus was here, the scribes and the Pharisees, they said to him, really to mock him and to criticise him, they said, he was a friend of sinners. So when I think about people that we're friends with, a lot of time we're friends with people that we want to be like, or people who we are like. But Lord Jesus, he wasn't friends with these publicans and sinners because he was like them. He was friends with them because he wanted them to be like him. And that's what Lord Jesus wants of us. He wants us to be saved from our sins. He wants us to be with him. And if we trust and put our faith in the Lord Jesus, then the Holy Spirit can come into us and live a different way. And in God's sight, we're sinless and we'll be with him. And we'll be like him, the Bible says, in that kind of future day. But I want to tell you today that Lord Jesus took an interest in people. He takes an interest in us. Lord Jesus, he knows our situation. No matter what it is. And I know that lots of people have problems in life. But no matter what the problems that we have in our lives, no matter our individual situation, God is interested in us. Now at the camp, it's just past here, I was only up a couple of nights, but the speaker, James, on a Friday night, the guy who was speaking, James College, he was emphasising the fact that we had a precious soul. And I want to emphasise that again for you this afternoon, but everyone here has a precious soul. You're precious in God's sight. It may be that people that you come into contact with on a daily basis, we don't think that you're anything special, but God thinks that you're special. God thinks that you have a precious soul. And he thought it was so precious that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to come and to die on the cross for each person here. So, Lord Jesus, he has an interest in you. It may be that you think no one else in the world has an interest in you, but God has an interest in you. And the Lord Jesus has an interest in you coming to a faith in him and putting your and trusting him as your saviour. So we thought of him as sinless. We thought of him as the God of love. But I want to also think of him as being righteous. Now, this is a feature that's not common in our society today. People generally are not righteous. Some people can be good. They can do good things. They can be kind to people and so on. But people are not righteous. And judges in our land and the courts and so on, but we can't be said of them that they're righteous. The Lord Jesus tells a parable of an unrighteous judge who, this judge, this woman that has this cause, has this enemy that she wants avenged of this enemy who'd done this unrighteous thing to her, and comes again and again to this judge, and the judge really has no interest. But then, because she keeps coming, he says, well, just to get rid of her, really, I'll avenge her. Without actually believing in the cause of what she was saying. Lord Jesus is not like that. Lord Jesus is a totally righteous judge. And the Bible says that we're all sinless. So we're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans, there's no difference, for all have sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 says, there's no difference, and it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So each person here, we're all sinners. We all fall short of God's perfect standards. We all fall short of the glory of God. But I want to tell you this afternoon, and I'm really not going to keep you too long this afternoon. Lord Jesus, it was Lord Jesus that came to save sinners. And the Lord Jesus who came to save sinners will one day judge sinners. In John chapter 5, verse 21, it says, for the Father judges no man, but have committed all judgment unto the Son. And what's that saying is, we can think of God as one who's up in heaven, quite distant from us in a way, but it's not God the Father that will judge us, it's Lord Jesus himself who will judge us. So we can either really come to Lord Jesus as one who is our Saviour, as one that came. It says in our verse here, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We can either meet him as our Saviour, and that's what he wants us to be, or we can meet him as our judge. And one day, if we don't meet him as our Saviour in this life, we'll meet him as our judge. And we'll stand before him, and we'll be judged according to the deeds that we've done and so on. And everyone will be pronounced guilty. Because all have sinned. But then there will be this opportunity for this ever book to be opened, this Lamb's Book of Life. And those that have came to him, accepted him as their Saviour, will be in this book, this Lamb's Book of Life. So really the challenge I have for you this afternoon is, do you want to meet Lord Jesus as Saviour, or do you want to meet him as your judge? Now, I want to think just for a few more minutes on this last part of the verse that we've been thinking about. It's often a part of the verse that's missed out when people quote it. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And quite often it stops here. People don't quote any more than that because it's really just quoted like that. But then it says, of whom I am chief. Now, What I want to think about just for a minute or two more. We need to have a personal recognition of our sin. Down at the camp, there was a speaker, Steve Clegg, and he goes into prisons, and he was telling me really that even amongst prisoners, there's a certain hierarchy where people say, well, if God can forgive some of these terrible people that have been like child abusers and so on, then I don't want anything to do with that God. And even amongst prisoners, even people that have been murderers and so on, they say, well, I'm not as bad as those people. So maybe that could be you today. You'd be thinking, well, relatively speaking, and I speak to lots of people round about here, and try to interest them in coming to the gospel and so on. And people, especially people who go to some kind of church, but maybe not necessarily have put a faith in the Lord Jesus, will say that actually I'm quite good overall. I'm not that bad. But if you want to meet the Lord Jesus as your saviour, then you need to have a personal recognition of your sin. You need to realise that you're a sinner. I was thinking of it this way, really, that you need to come to God as if you're the only sinner in the world. If I forget about everyone else, because every one of us, no matter how bad we are, really, no matter what kind of sins or crimes we commit, could possibly find someone else who's worse, or done worse crimes than us. But according to what the Bible says, and we read that verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we'll stand before God personally. We won't be able to say, well, so-and-so is a sinner, so-and-so did that, and so on. We'll stand before God completely based on what we are as a sinner. So if we're going to come to God and accept the Lord Jesus, we need to be as if there's no one else in the world as a sinner. We are the worst sinner in the world. We just come to God and put our faith in him, confess that we're a sinner, and then we can be sure. We thought about in our verse, if we just come in that simple way, just pray to God, pray to Lord Jesus and say, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus died for me. Accept him into our heart. As simple as that, when the Holy Spirit comes into us, makes us different, gives us the power to live a different life. And like that verse we read in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, and so on. So we can be sure that applies to us. But if we put faith in the Lord Jesus, one day he'll come back for us. If we die before that, we'll be going straight to him to be with him where he is. So that's the challenge I want to leave you with today. We'll finish a wee bit earlier. So we'll just have a word of prayer, then we'll have a closing hymn.